welcome to the 189th episode of The Week with Roger, a conversation between analysts about all things telecom, media, and technology from Recon Analytics. I'm Don Kellogg, and with me as always is Roger Entner. How you doing, Roger?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So, Roger, the stars aligned when we got a chance to hear earnings from all of the national MNOs, as well as both Comcast and Charter last week, which works out to be, you know, well in excess of 90% of the wireless market by subs. So I think it's time for what we always do on the quarterly earnings, just kind of run through everything and talk about who's hot and who's not. How about that?
Well, the market isn't hot, right?
It's not hot.
I was tweeting this morning, you know, winter is coming. We talked about it for years, especially during the pandemic, that the market was red hot. Where are all these subscribers coming from that are new to the category? You name it. And things look like that they're cooling down a lot, right? That's despite the wireless carrier postpaid numbers eating into prepaid in almost unprecedented ways. You put together a very nice chart on the handset replacement cycle.
Right. So if you look at the handset replacement cycle over the last 7 years or so, there's ups and downs, right? So we tend to see more folks in the back half of the year engage in upgrades, iPhones, Black Friday deals, things like that. So you kind of see a squiggly line, but the squiggly line is going down and to the right. And this past quarter, we had, at least within recent memory, you know, call it 7 or 8 years, all-time lows for upgrade rates, both at Verizon and at T-Mobile, right? We've talked about the handset replacement cycle lengthening, but we're really starting to see that
slower and slower.
And, you know, we've talked about this on podcasts before in terms of kind of the incremental improvements in the device.
Less and less.
Smaller and smaller, right? The one kind of exception being some of the AI things that some of the newer Android devices can do. But particularly on the iPhone side, which is the most popular device, most popular operating system, I should say, low light photos can only take you so far in terms of folks wanting to get a new device.
And better battery life.
Right, right.
And iPhones are very, very popular with postpaid, and prepaid is more of Android land. It would be interesting to see here, and we're digressing before we get into it, right? It highlights Apple's miss on AI, but they're a follower. Apple always gets mistaken as this leader, because they tell a really good story of being a leader when they actually are following Android in most cases, right? But anyway, let's dive into earnings. Where do we want to start?
Well, let's go in the order that they reported. How about that? Start with AT&T.
So AT&T started 349,000 phone net adds on a really continuing, very strong performance of FirstNet. FirstNet is like on cue, adding 400,000 net adds, which is both phones and devices. Where AT&T really shines is in the best churn in the industry. And their FWA is picking up. 110,000 FWA. So now we have three to that party, right? I'm sure that the cable guys can barely contain themselves. You know, it highlights the snake that's eating its own tail. And we saw very strong numbers on FWA, both from Verizon and T-Mobile, where the wireless carriers are beating the cable broadband providers in broadband, and the cable providers are beating the wireless carriers in wireless. Regulators should be very happy and should help.
I would point out that both of those scenarios, right? The interloper, or the, you know, person who's kind of selling outside of their core product, is selling that other product for about half the cost, right? So
yeah.
FWA generally sells for about half of what you would get like an MSO style cable connection for. And the MSOs turn around and sell wireless service for a rate that's heavily discounted relative to what the average wireless carrier would sell you a connection for. There are obviously exceptions to that, right? But the general idea is if you sell the same thing for half the price, you tend to be fairly successful at doing it, right?
Yeah. And we can come to that later when we talk about Comcast and especially Charter. You know, I think consumer mobile is doing pretty decently, right? They're chugging along. Business mobile is doing well. The wireline side on business is struggling. And I think here for AT&T, business FWA has the potential of becoming like a real rock star for them. AT&T is probably the most ambiguous and least full-throated into FWA. And John Stankey on the earnings call said as much. But when you look at it, business FWA uses 100 gig, consumer FWA uses 500. So it's a lot more palatable and easier for AT&T to go gangbuster on FWA, where they can eat into the cable companies, especially small business market, where they're like extremely strong, right? I was at Comcast's business analyst event, and Comcast has 5 million business customers. AT&T has 2.5. AT&T's are a lot larger than Comcast, but it now opens up the soft underbelly for Comcast and Charter that FWA can tear into that. But it was a cake quarter for AT&T.
To add in on the FWA side here, I think AT&T has been the most reluctant to get into FWA, but you know, we did some research fairly recently looking at interest in fiber among different folks who have different types of technology. And FWA folks are very interested in fiber as well. So our perspective has been that FWA can and should be a stepping stone to fiber if that's an offering that you have, and that it's not necessarily cannibalistic to fiber. So both within the context of consumer and within the context of business, I think it's good that AT&T is getting more heavily involved in FWA because it can and should be a stepping stone to a faster fiber connection eventually.
Yeah, and I think that's what T-Mobile is seeing, and we can talk about that too. It's like FWA is the gateway to fiber. If you build out fiber, you can like seed the market with FWA. And then when you have a cable, you can switch it over. But different ways, right? Then we had Verizon. The bad news is they lost consumer phones again. The good news is they lost less than before. Their consumer side, I think they still have ways to go. Their business mobility side was not as strong as before. And I think T-Mobile is eating into them there on the mobility side. 0.89% churn, objectively not a bad number. It's a very good number. In comparison, they used to be best, right?
Right. So the point of reference, AT&T got 0.72, T-Mobile got 0.86. And so of the national carriers that report, Verizon's churn, as you say, good from a historical basis, but on a relative basis compared to what everybody else is doing, they were the highest this quarter.
Yeah. Handset upgrade rate is the same as AT&T, really low 3%. But then there's no reason to upgrade a phone right now. And they had like 354,000 FWA. And they break out FWA between business and consumers. And Verizon's numbers show how successful you can be in the business segment with FWA. But with Verizon, there's still so much upside because 70% of their base is in urban and they have an ungodly amount of spectrum. Well, it's not ungodly, but they have 240 megahertz in rural America. They can beat fiber with that once they turn this on. And so I think Verizon is still a project and a path to improvement.
I mean, I think there's some momentum there, right? I think you would probably agree based on kind of where they've been, they're improving, right? But they have a ways to go.
They still have a ways to go. When was it? Like a week or two ago, I was with former Verizon wireless CEO, Denny Striegel, at his leadership class at Princeton. We were talking about, you know, how different companies. What's the most important thing? The most important thing is to drive profit for a business. But there are various ways to get there. Are you getting to more higher profits through improving the top line or by cutting the cost line? And Verizon lost again the number of accounts. So they continue to drive profitability by getting essentially more money out of fewer unique customer relationships. That is not a long-term sustainable business, right? You have fewer and fewer accounts and you get more and more money with it. Where does it end in the end? With zero accounts, right? If you draw a line, where does it end? It's not sustainable. Verizon is executing very well against their goals of increased profitability, cash flow, you know, all of these things. You should drive profitability through more customer relationships, not fewer. That is the sustainable model. It's also a hard model, right? When you look at T-Mobile, and which is next up, they're driving it through more accounts. They added 200 and change thousand accounts. More unique customer relationships drove that. And that's the healthy way to drive growth. Having been at companies that drive growth through the revenue line rather than through a smaller cost line, it's a lot more fun being part of a winning team that's expanding and growing and all of that than rather one that cuts itself to its goals, which doesn't mean that you shouldn't watch your cost line. And so T-Mobile, very strong again, but we expected that with the least 432 phone.
532.
And total ads were like north of a million. Handset upgrade rate was the lowest. You can illuminate of why they have the lowest.
So yeah, here at Recon, we all kind of have different providers so we can see what the experience is across the wireless providers. I have T-Mobile. I went to go upgrade my wife's phone and they wanted me to upgrade all my lines to get a subsidized phone. I did the math and I said, I'm down $800 at the end of this. I'll just go buy it outright myself. Thank you very much. Right. So I think what we're seeing, and we've seen this from T-Mobile for 4 or 5 quarters, is that they've consistently had the lowest handset upgrade rate. So they're more than willing to give you a subsidized device, for example, if you're going to the newest plans, highest tier premium plans. But as we've also reported on the podcast, the latest iteration of T-Mobile plans are more or less a $5 price increase for largely what you would get with the prior plan, with the addition of a little bit more international data and I think a larger hotspot.
Yeah, and it hasn't stopped them from gaining customers. And so since they are a profit-optimizing company, they said on the call, we'll optimize our prices. And that usually doesn't mean the prices will go down, right?
Well, they're also past the kind of merger timeline where they said they wouldn't raise prices, right? So there's no longer any sort of regulatory heat coming if they do. And, you know, as you say, they're in the position to be able to do this, right? They've raised prices on fixed wireless. They've rolled out newer plans that are effectively $5 price increases across the board, and they're still growing, right? And for what it's worth, they have a good network, right? I'm totally happy with their network.
They have a good network. Things are working. And, you know, I'm sure if you do a word cloud of all the earnings calls and look at the size of the word Un-carrier, I'm sure it's getting smaller over time, right? Which is fine, right? They're now number two, and it's what this does to them.
Right. The other thing we should talk about while we're talking about T-Mobile, though, is that they announced this JV, or officially announced this JV with Lumos Fiber. Tell us about that and kind of what are the implications there?
All right. So Handelsblatt in Germany reported that like a month ago that Deutsche Telekom and T-Mobile would invest roughly a little bit shy of $1 billion. In EQT, which is a Swedish PE fund that owns Lumos, which is a fiber provider in Virginia with about 320,000 homes passing. They will bring this up to 28 to about 3.5 million passing. This is basically the entry of T-Mobile as a fiber operator. T-Mobile is already offering fiber through a resale arrangement where they are in charge of sales and customer service, you know, in what, 8 states?
Yeah, it's like 16 markets, 7 or 8 states.
So this is a successive strategy going forward into being a fiber operator as a total communication provider, because this convergence is happening, right? And it's working. If Congress doesn't give more spectrum, FWA will not go away, but it, you know, at one point in time, you have to say, when does it reach its natural end? And as you mentioned earlier, we did, you know, a newspaper article comes out. What do? We write questions and we ask 7,000, 8,000 people what they think about this, right? 52% of the people we asked were interested in T-Mobile fiber. 74% of T-Mobile FWA customers are interested in T-Mobile fiber. Mike Sievert said on the earnings call that this is a safety valve. Our data exactly shows this, that if FWA gets too small and you have fiber, you can move customers to the best network for them, right? FWA is not you know, cure for cancer and bringer of world peace, it's a good enough solution. And it's good enough for most people, especially when they were mistreated by their existing customer and had no choice. FWA brings choice to people who didn't have choice before. And that's an awesome thing.
Everybody has set these targets of, you know, 4 or 5 million at Verizon, 7 or 8 million at T-Mobile. You get a lot more mileage out of that spectrum you're using for FWA if then you can kind of do kind of a shuffle where you get people on FWA, then you shuffle them over to fiber, and then you have more capacity left. You get a lot more mileage, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, as T-Mobile kind of gets to the end of their 5-year planning cycle and they're thinking about kind of what their next long-term targets are, we'd been thinking for a while and they'd been quietly dabbling in fiber for a while, but it's not surprising that they show their cards here and start to really double down on this. 3.5 million is not nothing. It's not everything, right? But it's a first step.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I think T-Mobile can probably do double than the 7 million that they said was their goal. Verizon can do easily double than the 5 million, if not triple, right? And then you add to that AT&T, however many million they want to add, and you have a serious amount of indigestion and heartburn at the existing, you know, internet provider, predominantly cable, right? It's going to really cramp Comcast and Charter style. It might be downright lethal for smaller rural cable providers, even like somebody like a Cable One, which is trying to sell itself. We showed our data to some potential investors and they looked at it and said, like, no, we're not going to invest in that. Thank you. Because it's not going to go away. The idea that FWA will go away is preposterous. It will stop getting worse, but it will stay around, right? And so coming to Comcast, which reported next, they lost internet connections, right? Their business was also not that great, which is small business. And we also do an exorbitant amount of work in the business sector. And we have now a long-running business sentiment study. And medium and large businesses, more than half of them, if not two-thirds, think business is good or great. For small business, two-thirds think it's horrible or barely tolerable, right? That's what you're seeing in Comcast's numbers. And especially, you know, where they are, they have 50% market share, which is really admirable, but it also means there's not that much further to go. And so mobile is growth for them. And it's even more growth for Charter.
So back it up. Comcast had 289,000 nets.
Yeah.
Which is
a little bit less than last year.
Right. It's reasonably good. Last year, Q1, it was 355. That's not bad, right? Particularly when we see Verizon nets on the same network or the same cellular network are negative, right? So not terrible, right? Continuing to grow. They have new plans, new prepaid plans that they rolled out, which they say are largely...
Yeah, but they haven't shown up yet, right?
Yeah.
But you have to understand Comcast Charter is about 35 to 40% of the country each. So if they would be nationwide, you know, Comcast would be easy at like 600 and Charter would be the million, right? So they're handicapped by their lack of, and they can only sell to their existing base. Their mobile numbers are very, very strong. And Charter's are even stronger and Charter goes at this like gangbusters. What was very interesting, Charter mentioned on their earnings call that we're at the 1-year anniversary of the Spectrum One offers, which basically comped the mobile line. And so the prices are exploding right now and churn went down. I don't know if this will last, but it means customers are happy with it, even at the higher prices. But Charter is also suffering from lower home internet. And that's where, you know, again, FWA is making their life not very nice.
Right. So on the mobile side, Charter had 486,000 net adds on phone. Last year, they had 686. Both for Comcast and for Charter, we're seeing some degree of deceleration. And, you know, honestly, we're seeing that deceleration across the industry. Right. So it's not surprising.
Yeah, we're seeing that whole deceleration, right? The whole decision pool is coming down. Also, what's really interesting, even though prices have gone up, we see net promoter scores in mobile steadily increasing. And we looked at this left and right. It's like, you know, did somebody contaminate our panel or whatever? And we see a very small increase, on the fixed side that people are getting happier, but not in that really impressive degree that we're seeing right now. And I think both of it has to do that, objectively speaking, mobile is getting better. The user experience is getting better. The user experience on home internet is getting better. And that's across the board, including the cable guys. We see the impact of their high splits, right? Customers who have their high splits with higher speeds and all of that stuff are getting happier. Doesn't fix the fundamental problem on disconnects, which they suffer disproportionately, both on business and on consumer. But that's a flaw of DOCSIS 4.1. I still can't see if DOCSIS 4.0 alleged superior reliability is showing up. Not enough people are on it, but we'll see. Because I think on home internet, in the end, the battle will not be speed. Everybody will have plenty of speed, even an FWA with good enough speed. The battle will be about reliability and how well do you treat your customers. And those are the much harder things to change. It is much easier to change a box than it is to change the culture of a company.
Yep. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.